My brothers, we now have show sponsors to help support this ministry, and this episode of the Grizz Podcast is sponsored by Bruce Compton. Bruce and his family are longtime friends of mine from New Jersey, and I'm grateful for his support and prayers of this ministry. Thank you, Bruce. It means a lot, my brother. And I'll share more at the end of this episode about how you, your business, or your ministry can sponsor an episode of the Grizz Podcast as well. So for those of you who are new to the podcast and may not know this, one of the things I do every week is I lead online recovery and accountability groups for Christian men who are working to overcome their struggle with lust and pornography. And some of these guys are still in the shackles of addiction, but many of them have been free for months, even years, but they still want the guidance, accountability, and brotherhood that helps them stay on the right path. And these groups are called Climb Teams, and you can learn more about them at our website at narrowtrail.com. So this past week, I was listening to a few of the guys in Climb Teams who are only a couple weeks into sobriety, and it reminded me again just how brutal the withdrawal from porn addiction can be. You see, in addiction recovery, withdrawal is the term used to describe the physical and mental symptoms a person experiences when they stop using an addictive substance. And listen to me, porn is an extremely addictive substance. In fact, I've had men in my groups who were former alcoholics and drug addicts, I'm talking cocaine, meth, you name it. They've told me that the hardest addiction they ever had to break was pornography. And listen, when a man stops using it, especially if he's used it for years or even decades, there are very real withdrawal symptoms, but not many people talk about this. And understanding it can actually help men in recovery know what to expect and make sense of what they're experiencing. It helps you realize, like, oh, this is a normal part of withdrawal. My brain is healing. I learned about this. This is eventually going to pass. Like, that can make all the difference. It really helps to know what to expect with withdrawal and how to successfully get through it. So that's where we're going for this episode. The harsh reality of porn withdrawal and some practical things you can do to push through it and come out stronger and godlier on the other side. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. Now here's your host, Jason George.
Get him, Jay.
Yo, yo, thanks for tuning in and listening to this week's episode of The Grizz. I am glad you are here. As usual, I'm here in the Grizz Cave with my dog, Ike. He's in the background, always ready to interrupt my recording. And today is, let's see, what is it? Today is Tuesday, March 10th, 2026, when I'm recording this. I have been researching for this episode for over 2 weeks. That is why I didn't drop an episode last week. I just didn't have it done in time. And I was also pretty overwhelmed with some of my medical issues. Keep praying for me, my brothers. The meds I'm on are, let's just say, kicking my asphalt. You know what I mean? It's just, ugh. Anyway, before we jump into this important topic of withdrawal from porn addiction, I want to say something important. Let's be praying for what's happening in the Middle East right now. Not just for our troops and our leaders, but for everyone involved. This is a significant moment in history. Decisions being made right now will have consequences that ripple for years, decades, maybe even centuries. I don't like war. None of us should. I understand that sometimes war is necessary. And whatever side you line up on, whatever opinion you have on all of this in the Middle East, even if we disagree, Let's agree that we should be praying. Pray for wisdom for leaders. Pray for protection for troops. Pray for innocent families that are caught in the middle. Pray for peace. And pray for God to use this for good to somehow advance the gospel and his kingdom. Be praying, my brothers. After a massive hurricane destroys a town, that town doesn't rebuild overnight. I mean, it doesn't do it in a weekend, not a month, maybe not even a year. Sometimes it takes years to rebuild that town. And the same is true of your brain after the devastation caused by years, even decades, of pornography addiction. It takes time, work, patience, and persistence to rewire and rebuild your brain from porn addiction. Think about it. You've been flooding your brain with lust and porn for years. Some guys, even decades. You know, most of the guys I've worked with over the years, they began looking at porn around the age of 10 years old, including myself. And now you're expecting to suddenly live without it and everything will feel awesome. Sorry, dude. Like, that's not how it works, my brothers. Again, rewiring and rebuilding your brain after porn addiction takes time, work, patience, and persistence. This is the hard truth of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and also Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And then in Ephesians 4, where he says, "Put off your old self and be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self." You see, renewing your mind after porn addiction is how a man becomes the man God called him to be. It's both spiritual transformation and neurological rewiring. And it's not easy. It's one of the hardest parts of sanctification. It takes much time, work, patience, and persistence. But it is possible. I've experienced it for myself, and I've helped many other Christian men experience it. And it's absolutely worth it, my brothers. So let me start out by briefly explaining what porn addiction actually does to your brain and your body. First of all, porn is what I call a super normal stimulus or a super stimulus. And I get that from Dr. Gary Wilson. He says, "Internet pornography is a super normal stimulus that hijacks the brain's reward system." Like, it's beyond normal. That's what he's saying. It is not a normal stimulus that a man is designed to enjoy within marriage with his wife. Dude, viewing porn creates major dopamine spikes in your brain and body far beyond what natural, real-life intimacy with your wife produces. And this may feel really good at first, but as many of you know, you're going to pay for it in due time. So dopamine, if you don't know, is the motivation and reward chemical in your brain. And it not only feels good, dude, it drives pursuit and it reinforces the behavior that gave you the dopamine spike. So when you repeatedly flood your brain with massive dopamine spikes, like when you watch porn and masturbate, your brain adapts to that super stimulus and it begins to expect that as the norm. Your brain is sent the message that this is the new norm of what life is going to be like with this major flood of dopamine. And that is not good. Your brain's not designed for that. When there's too much dopamine for too long, the brain protects itself by reducing dopamine receptors. This is called downregulation. And fewer receptors means less sensitivity to dopamine. So when there's less sensitivity to dopamine, now you need more stimulation to feel the same effect. This is why porn addiction easily escalates. It takes more frequent use, more graphic material, more novelty, just to get that same dopamine fix that you used to get when you started. Meanwhile, the simple life pleasures don't do much for you anymore. We'll talk more about this a little later in this episode. Gary Wilson explains this in his book, Your Brain on Porn. He says, when dopamine receptors decrease, everyday pleasures lose their impact. The user becomes increasingly dependent on the artificial stimulus. That's why addiction progresses. But here's the hard part. When you suddenly go cold turkey from porn and masturbation, which is what God wants you to do, he tells us as Christian men, 1 Thessalonians 4, abstain from sexual immorality. When you do that and you completely abstain, go cold turkey as God tells you to do, you suddenly have lower dopamine levels and fewer dopamine receptors. And you will, listen, 100% feel that, my brothers, and it can suck. Let me grab a sip of my coffee here. I'm talking, you can have low motivation, low energy, a low drive for anything normal, flat mood. You don't feel like yourself. You may experience something called anhedonia. I've talked about anhedonia before on previous episodes. Anhedonia simply means you have an inability to feel pleasure from things that normally should bring joy or pleasure. Like food is blah. I don't care what restaurant you go to. Everything is blah. Listening to music feels blah. Watching a movie or a game feels blah. Social interaction feels blah. And listen, when this is going on from the withdrawal, this doesn't mean you're broken. This is not permanent. This is withdrawal. Your brain is not used to the withdrawal of dopamine, and it's recalibrating, and that can cause major discomfort and even physical pain. In her book, Dopamine Nation, Dr. Anna Limbicki writes, "The brain restores balance by tipping the scales away from pleasure and toward pain." The brain restores balance by tipping the scales away from pleasure and toward pain. That temporary tilt in recovery or withdrawal is a tilt towards discomfort and pain. That's part of the healing process. You have to go through it. You have to feel it to heal it. Dopamine receptors do rebuild. The brain does balance out, thank God. But it takes work. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes persistence. And it is going to suck for a while. But as the Navy SEALs say, one of my favorite mottos, embrace the suck. Embrace the suck, my brothers. It's not going to be forever. You have to hang in there. Also, porn addiction doesn't just affect your dopamine levels and receptors. It also impacts the entire chemical reward and stress system in the brain. I'm talking about things like serotonin, which is your mood regulation, endorphins, which are your natural pain relievers, norepinephrine, which is all about alertness and stress response, cortisol, the stress hormone, and your testosterone and hormonal imbalance. Dude, all of that is affected with pornography addiction and then the withdrawal of pornography addiction. Also, something else I've been studying recently is that pleasure and safety are deeply connected in the brain. You see, when you're experiencing healthy pleasure, like say with relational connection, laughter, achieving a goal, the brain receives a signal of safety. Hear what I'm saying. Pleasure and safety are deeply connected. And when that happens, your parasympathetic nervous system, that activates. So when that happens, your heart rate stabilizes. Stress hormones decrease. The body shifts into what is called the rest and digest mode. Again, pleasure and safety are deeply connected. And healthy pleasures will calm the nervous system. That's why you got to have good, healthy self-care. But porn also, as you know, provides a temporary fix of pleasure. That's why guys go to it. There is a pleasure from it, a very powerful, addicting pleasure. And by activating all those pleasure chemicals, that it makes you feel safe. So some people don't understand why guys go to porn, why it's so addictive. It's more than just, oh, he's a hornball. He's horny. He's a pervert. It's deeper than that. That pleasure hits the chemicals that also can make someone feel safe, secure. But listen, porn, it's so dangerous because it hijacks this system. Porn becomes your artificial nervous system regulator, and that is not good. We don't want porn regulating anything with our nervous system. And here is what you begin to do. You begin using porn just like a guy uses a drug. You feel stress or anxiety, you go to porn. You feel lonely, go to porn. You feel bored, go to porn. Feel ashamed, go to porn. Feel pain or sickness, go to porn. Kevin Skinner, clinical psychologist, says pornography trains the brain through repetition. So you keep doing this because there's a pleasure, and the pleasure can hit those chemicals that make you feel safe. Pleasure and safety are connected. Remember me saying that. And that repetition, dude, it's just forming neural pathways, this addiction. It's so dangerous. Robert Weiss, a sex addiction specialist and author, he says this: sex addiction isn't about sex. Sex addiction isn't about sex. Like, then what's it about? He says it's about escape. Addicts use sexual behavior to regulate painful emotions. Dude, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Porn becomes your artificial nervous system regulator, and you don't want that. But that's what many of us have done for years, even decades. Patrick Carnes, author and sex addiction specialist, says the addiction becomes a way to escape or obliterate pain. And I know it's temporary, but it's powerful. And in the moment, it works, but it's causing major damage. Listen, guys, what happens is over time, you're programming your brain that porn brings relief. Porn becomes the place you go for nervous system regulation. But then you take porn away. You go completely cold turkey. You do what the Bible tells you to do in 1 Thessalonians 4, which is what you need to do to heal. But your brain says, where the hell is my fix? Where is the relief I'm used to? I need my fix. Give me my fix. That activates what's called the amygdala in your brain. It's the brain's threat detector. And when that gets triggered, stress hormones rise. Cortisol rises. Adrenaline rises. And guess what this can produce? Irritability, restlessness, anxiety, even panic-like symptoms. Difficulty relaxing, insomnia. And don't get mad at your brain and nervous system. Dude, they're in withdrawal. They're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Don't get mad at them. You did this to yourself. You are in withdrawal. Your brain is recalibrating. It's going to take time, work, patience, persistence. It's going to be uncomfortable for a while. It's going to suck. Embrace the suck. This too shall pass. Expect symptoms. Symptoms don't mean failure. They often mean healing is underway. So I'm going to give you some symptoms that hit during this withdrawal. First, there are physical withdrawal symptoms. As I said, sleep difficulties, insomnia, very common, energy fluctuations, fatigue, slower recovery from stress, headaches, achiness, increased pain sensitivity. Like, pain hits you harder than it used to. Why is this? Because the high levels of dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins that you were used to that were triggered with your porn use, they all help regulate pain. when those levels that your brain and body are used to suddenly get, you know, well, drop because you're not using it anymore, pain sensitivity increases and energy decreases. So you may hurt and feel completely blah, no motivation to do anything. Listen, your brain and your nervous system are recalibrating. It will improve. This is withdrawal, my brothers. You may also experience temporary sexual dysfunction, such as difficulty achieving erection without porn. This happens to a lot of guys that are porn addicts. Difficulty reaching orgasm without porn. Low libido for a season. Your brain must relearn how to respond to real intimacy, like with your wife, instead of that sinful artificial stimulation. Dr. William Struthers writes in his book, Wired for Intimacy, the brain becomes trained with porn addiction to respond to the screen rather than to a real person. And that is so jacked up. That is dangerous. That is detrimental. That is damaging to any relationship. Recovery retrains the brain back toward real connection with your wife. So those are physical withdrawal symptoms. Then there are emotional withdrawal symptoms that hit. You may experience things like increased feeling of stress, anxiety, just feeling keyed up and on edge, a feeling of wanting to jump out of your skin. You're like, what is happening to me? Your brain's not getting the fix that it's used to. Anger, irritability, short temper, depression, hopeless feelings, low motivation, crying spells, apathy. Again, a lot of it, it's called anhedonia. The world can feel gray for a season. I don't care how bright the sun is shining, blue skies, birds chirping, the world can feel completely gray for a season. You may also feel very, very deep grief. Grief over what? Grief over the time you've lost addicted to freaking porn. Grief over the damage that your addiction caused. Grief over opportunities you've missed that you will never get back because of this addiction. My brothers, allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to grieve. But don't pitch your tent there. To heal it, you have to feel it. And don't go through this alone. I'll talk about that shortly. You know, porn was used to numb your pain, to escape some sort of discomfort. My good friend, Matt Dobschutz, a.k.a. The Dobber, over at the Porn Free Radio podcast, who wrote the book, Porn Free. You need to get that if you've never read it. He says that porn is not your real problem. It's been a type of solution you use to medicate your real problems. He is exactly right. Again, there is so much more going on than just, oh, he's horny. Oh, he's a pervert. Listen, there's more going on. There are deeper things that you are trying to medicate. And when porn is removed, old pain resurfaces, including, fun, wounds from your childhood that you may never have fully faced. And that can be extremely uncomfortable and scary. But this is also the beginning of healing. To heal it, you have to feel it. It's time to face it the right way, with God, with brothers in Christ, and with some professional help. There is no shame in that, in getting professional help. I've met with my therapist this morning. I meet with her every single week. It takes a real man to face those deep things, to climb that mountain. Along with physical, emotional symptoms, there's mental symptoms that hit. You may experience brain fog, difficulty concentrating, trouble recalling words, difficulty processing like complex tasks that would used to be easy for you. People may be asking you like, hey, are you there? Hello? Are we here together? You may also notice you're more, this is so important, pessimistic and negative. Part of withdrawal, you can become extremely pessimistic and negative. I have seen this with some guys in our climb team recovery groups who every check-in, they continually focus on whatever is going wrong in their life, their health, their marriage, with their kids, with their church, with the world. It's like, good night, dude. Here's what happens. This is fascinating. When we're stressed and going through this withdrawal thing, the brain becomes hyper alert to anything that is wrong. It's a way of trying to protect us. And one expert on addiction recovery that I was listening to, she said that your brain starts looking for vipers instead of bunny rabbits. And guess what? If you obsess looking for vipers in the world, you'll find them and you will completely miss all the bunny rabbits that you walk by. Oh, look at that bunny. You won't even see it. Why? Because you are just obsessed with looking for the vipers. It's weird. It's like, if you feel bad, your brain will start searching for confirmation that all of life is bad. And I want you guys to just be aware of that. And you got to zoom out. You got to see the big picture of recovery to know this is what's going on. I'm in withdrawal. And one of the ways you combat it, I'll talk about this later, is practice daily gratitude. That's something I do almost every day. as I get my journal and I just write out, what am I thankful for today? What are the wins today? Are there things that I don't like? Are there things that sucked about today? Are there things that went wrong? Are there losses? Absolutely. But what did go right today, Jason? Like, stop, breathe, look around, think, give thanks. We are commanded to do that. But many of us, we suck at that, especially in withdrawal. This process takes time. The brain is reformatting during the withdrawal process. Also, with withdrawal, there could be an increase, major sexual craving and desires. Like, you get hit with weird things. I hear guys report this all the time. Like, dude, I've got like 3 months sobriety, but I'm all of a sudden having all these sexual dreams. I'm having dreams about me using porn. I'm having just weird, intrusive sexual thoughts out of nowhere. I'm having flashbacks of old past encounters. And you may also notice just an increase in the objectification of women. Any woman that walks by, basically. What's happening here? Your brain is searching for dopamine. It scans the environment for some sort of fix to find relief. When it sees an attractive woman walk by, it may momentarily like register, hey, that's potential dopamine right there. And you got to recognize what's happening. Your brain has not been getting its fix with like your secret private porn use. Call it what it is. Correct it. Rewire it. Also, guys, you've got to realize that your years or even decades of porn use trained you to objectify any kind of attractive woman that is in your line of sight. It's like you can't even see them as a normal person. You want to lust after them, because that's what porn has trained you to do. And it's very hard to just keep that in your private world. What you do in private will affect you in public. Many men can't look at an attractive woman in the eyes and have a normal conversation with her. Their eyes go all over the place, checking out her breast, her butt, her crotch. And if you think women don't notice you doing that, you're an idiot, man, who knows nothing about women. Trust me, they notice. Well, she shouldn't be dressing like that. Hey, listen, Chucky, maybe so, but you're responsible for you. Stop blaming her and take responsibility for your eyes and your mind. You are the one who made it this difficult for yourself. But the good news, you can renew your mind and change this. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time, but you can do it. I tell guys in climb teams, listen, here's a great tactic to use. When you see an attractive woman jogging or working out at the gym and she's in those skin tight, short yoga shorts that show everything, ask yourself this question. Am I a protector or a predator? And then answer the question. I am a protector. State your identity. And then look away. Go work out in another part of the gym. And what do I mean a protector? Guys, you have to remember that female you're looking at, that's somebody's daughter. That's someone's daughter. That's someone's wife or someone's future wife. That's someone created in the image of God, whom Christ bled and died for. Yeah, but look at what she's wearing. Listen, look beyond that. She's a person. Someone's daughter, someone's wife or future wife, created in the image of God, Christ bled and died for her. Same is true for the porn star. Listen, this kind of self-talk, predator or protector, it reprograms the brain. Also, with withdrawal, you could notice relational changes. During withdrawal, you may also feel like withdrawn socially. You could feel down, feel unlike yourself, like I don't even want to be around people. You may notice that you have less patience with others, a shorter fuse, more reactivity, less capacity to handle stress, frustration, or demands from any kind of relationship. Remember, your brain and nervous system are recalibrating. Be aware of it. Take responsibility for your behavior, but also understand the process of why you're temporarily feeling the way you're feeling. Guys, listen to me. I care about you. If you're listening right now and you feel anxious, foggy, unmotivated, emotionally flat because you've gone cold turkey from porn, if life feels absolutely just and miserable right now, good. Good. That doesn't mean healing or recovery isn't working. It often means recovery is working really well. Embrace the suck. Healing is happening. It just takes time. No pain, no gain. This too shall pass. To heal it, you got to feel it. In my opinion, the first 90 days of sobriety is the hardest, but I don't consider myself an expert on this subject. I'm just telling you what I experienced for myself coming out of it and also with the guys I work with. The first 90 days of sobriety is the hardest. In my opinion, like the first 30 days, it's not that hard, especially if something major happened to make you go cold turkey, such as you got caught, you got exposed, you lost your job over it, or you lost a relationship over it. Like there was a breakup or a separation or a divorce, you got kicked out, or you've been cast out of a friend group or a church group because it came out. Dude, if any of that happened, you're probably scared. And dude, like fear, it is extremely motivating. So that first 30 days of sobriety is not as challenging as what's to come. And you may even think you got this thing beat because like, man, I've gone 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Don't be deceived, my brothers. The first 90 days of sobriety is the hardest, in my opinion. It will improve after 90 days, but dude, it can totally recycle. If you're triggered by things like stress, sickness, pain, boredom, old wounds from the past, or even external triggers, all sorts of things can trigger it. Also, if you're in recovery and you're going through withdrawal and you begin to edge around and dabble around with some lustful things, but you're like, well, it's not technically porn. Listen, you're prolonging the withdrawal process. And that hinders healing and recovery. So let me give you some ways to support the rebuilding process of recovery and life after pornography addiction. This is what actually helps the brain rewire and rebuild so you can successfully come through this. But before I get into that, man, there's something. Listen, first of all, I need to make sure that you guys know you have to go cold turkey. There are some guys who are like, well, I'm just going to taper it down a bit. I'm going to gradually come off porn. No, you're not. That's not how it works. There is no slow tapering down with this nasty drug of pornography. 1 Thessalonians 4 is clear about this. It says to completely abstain from sexual immorality. No slow taper. Not a little bit is okay. Give it a month, give it 3 months, 6 months. No, abstain. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, among you, Christians, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. So God is like, dude, you go cold turkey. So here's some physical things you can do. First of all, prioritize sleep. When you're in recovery, prioritize sleep. Improve your sleep hygiene. Again, you may be experiencing insomnia. It's going to suck for a while if you do. Regulate your circadian rhythms. Have a set time to go to bed, a set time to get up. Number two, eat and drink clean. You're like, what does that have to do with pornography addiction? A lot. If you eat and drink crap, expect to feel like crap. Fried, processed foods, fast food, excessive sugar, sodas, alcohol. It's not helping you recover. You're often just trying to find another fix to dull the pain. And guys, to heal it, you got to feel it. You know, little things. Choose some rice and chicken with a seltzer water at Chipotle over what's across the street at McDonald's with a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke. Like, choose healthier. Crap foods will feel good in the moment, but then it brings the yuck feeling afterwards. And what does that remind you of? Been there, done that, right? Not to mention, with that kind of food, you're polluting your body and setting yourself up for heart disease, diabetes, cancer, etc. Number three in recovery, move your body. Move your body. I tell guys this every week. I check on them almost every week. How you doing with health and fitness? Many guys, they get it. But there's still guys in my groups that are just like, I haven't done anything this week. They still don't get the connection here. Daily light to moderate exercise helps regulate cortisol, it stabilizes mood, and it supports dopamine recovery. You don't have to become a bodybuilder or a marathon runner or go to CrossFit. I mean, good on you if you do. Light to moderate exercise is what you need. Every day, I go for short walks with my dog. Sometimes in the morning, it'll be a half mile. Sometimes at lunchtime, a mile. In the evening, sometimes 2 miles. Sometimes I go to the gym and I just ride a stationary bike at, you know, like for a few miles at a normal pace, nothing crazy, light to moderate. You could shoot hoops, you could play pickleball, tennis, chop some wood, move your body and tell yourself, this is part of my healing. This is part of my recovery. Dude, that can even trigger a whole lot of the feel-good chemicals. There are relational things you can do during recovery. First and foremost, do not isolate during recovery. Nobody recovers in isolation. Don't isolate ever, but I mean, except for a period of solitude, solitude can be good. We all need some of that. Some of us, like myself, can enjoy long periods away from people, but we need daily interaction with God and people. It is especially helpful to be daily interacting with other brothers who are going through recovery with you, even if that's through a group text thread. This is something that is foundational in our online Climb Team recovery groups. You have to stay connected. Connection regulates the nervous system. So calling someone, texting someone, attending church, join a men's group, show up to that men's prayer breakfast, show up to the work day at church, stop by and hang out with a family member or friends. You don't need to say a lot. Even just watching a game or a movie with them is huge. Talk to a therapist. Isolation brings addiction. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. Godly brotherhood is good medicine. Some emotional things you can do for recovery. Have compassion for yourself. Have compassion for yourself. Some guys are way too hard on themselves. Like, you need to be hard on yourself, but you also need to have compassion for yourself. Some days you will feel strong. Some days you will feel weak. Guess what? You're human. Ride the waves. Don't be distressed about your distress. Don't be distressed about your distress. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to feel that way. Just accept it. This is part of recovery. Allow and accept the process of withdrawal and healing. Embrace the suck. Remember the serenity prayer. I said it to myself last week a couple of times. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Then some cognitive things like you can do to help in recovery is monitor your progress. track your sobriety days, track your relapses, do daily check-ins with your accountability partner, not weekly, daily. That's what we do with climb teams. Work on your inner self-talk, practice gratitude, memorize scripture, remind yourself of your identity in Christ. When tempted, remember to ask yourself, am I a protector or a predator? And answer that question. I am a protector. So much of recovery is talking to yourself in the right way. Reinforce the new identity you are building. And then there's environmental things you need to do in recovery. Install Covenant Eyes Victory Shield on all of your devices. Man, if you don't have Covenant Eyes Victory Shield monitoring all your devices and your kids' devices, man, you're a fool. You need that. Go to Covenant Eyes, sign up, and when you're at checkout, use the promo code GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN, to get your first month completely free. I am an affiliate. I'm not going to lie. Like, I get a little kickback from that, just being honest with you. But I personally have used Covenant Eyes for like 2 decades now. It's on both of my computers. It's on my iPhone. There should be no unmonitored devices in your house when you're going through recovery. Avoid triggering environments. Bounce your eyes. Relocate when temptations rise up. Make it harder on yourself to relapse. Put passwords on things like your phone or your TV, if you have to, your smart TV, whatever, that your wife knows or your roommate or whoever. You know, make it harder to relapse. Make it easier to succeed. And then spiritually, some things you can do through recovery, of course. This is so crucial. Draw close to God. Draw close to God. Every day you got to spend time in His Word and in His prayer. Ask for grace. Ask for strength. Ask for endurance through the pain, through the suck, through the rewiring process. You're going to have to ask for that daily. Practice gratitude daily. Get a journal and start writing out every day, just one page. What did go right today? What am I grateful for? Where did I win today? Where did I win the battle? I don't care if it's at work, with your finances, relationships. Did you know you talk to one of your kids? I don't know. Did you clean up your yard? What are your wins for the day? Write those out. Listen to good podcasts that keep you focused on God, that help you recovery, that motivate and encourage you. Like, I know a good one, you know what I'm saying? And get in a good gospel-centered recovery group with other Christian brothers. I also know a good one of those. So, guys, be patient with yourself. Your brain is healing. Your body is adjusting to life without that super stimulus of dopamine. God is shaping you into a new man from the inside out. Remember, after a hurricane destroys a town, rebuilding takes time. The same is true for your brain. Some days you're going to feel strong. Some days you will feel God awful. This too shall pass. You are not broken. You are rebuilding. Hang in there and never stop climbing. Hey, stay tuned for a few closing items of Grizz Biz. Hey guys, first of all, if this episode encouraged you, would you copy a link and share it with a friend who might need to hear it? Why keep it to yourself when there's another man right now that may need this message today? And if God has used this podcast in your life, if you've been listening for months or even years and it's helped you, don't just be a consumer, contribute. The Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries, a nonprofit helping men pursue freedom, brotherhood, and growth that's rooted in Christ. If you'd like to support the mission, go to our website, narrowtrail.com, click on our give page, or simply take your phone and text the word give to 301-888-6860. Text the word give to 301-888-6860. It'll help you set that up. Second, wherever you're listening, hit the subscribe button and would you leave us a quick rating and review? That helps us out so that more men can discover the podcast. And number 3, we have opened up a new opportunity for individuals, businesses, or ministries to sponsor an episode of the Grizz Podcast. Here's what we're looking for. For $75, you can sponsor an episode and receive a 60 to 90 second shout out on the show. Plus, your name or business will be listed in the episode show notes and across all our podcast platforms and social media. We are also doing a bundle deal where you can sponsor multiple episodes. If you're interested, just email me. My email is jason@narrowtrail.com. It's in the show notes, and I will send you all the details about that. And one last thing, guys, if you are tired of fighting this battle with lust and pornography alone, check out our climb teams. These are online brotherhood groups where Christian men pursue freedom together with biblical guidance, accountability, and support. Go to our website, narrowtrail.com, click on the climb team page to learn more. Brothers, you don't have to stay in the pit. If you're staying in the pit, it's because you're choosing to stay in the pit. Thank you.